For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
Came to help you not to be familiar with his word. Jesus. Yes. Speak to us this evening, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for this great opportunity, even during the week on a Wednesday night, to be in church. We ask that you speak to us, minister to us. May we not be familiar, may we not be too knowing, but rather let us be open. Make our hearts fertile. Let your word come to affect us and to change us. We thank you, we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, please be seated. Amen, 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 amen. So you're all welcome to our midweek service. Amen. I always say that it takes something else to come to church on Wednesdays, isn't it? Sundays are easier because it's like traditional. You grew up with it. Even when you live with your mom and your dad, you used to go to church on Sundays, isn't it? But then, midweek, extra. So we are grateful to God for all of you, and I pray that more and more people will be touched to be in church. So we continue our series on loyalty. I'm not done with it. God is not done with it. Amen. I am purposely going that way. I feel led to go that way. And I want us to develop the culture of loyalty. Do you understand? Yeah, you should develop the culture of loyalty. Lady Pastor was telling me a story in the car when we were coming about a church. I don't know, I haven't seen the clip yet. But it's about a church, a pastor. It's an American church. I suppose a big church. A very big church. And this American pastor was having like a marriage seminar. So he was talking to people. And I think there was a lady who came up front who was a little heavy set. So he began to talk to her about some things that she should change. Like her dressing, her, you know, a little more private. And somebody got the clip and it's all over the internet now. You know, and now the pastor is feeling so sorry and apologizing and begging. And I'm saying to myself that this cannot happen in our church. I mean, if you try and touch this man, he won't have to say anything. Everybody's going to rise up against you. Do you see? And I'm wondering that would he not say something? I mean, even the church members, would they not rise up? Would they not post something? Would they not say something to? So loyalty is very, very important. You see? And I'm telling you that when you learn it properly, you realize that it's going to affect everything. Your marriage will be affected. Your work will be affected. Lawyer, do you know employers like very loyal employees? Yes. When you are loyal at work, it's very hard to sack you. Sometimes I watch my boss, you know, she would create positions for people in order not to sack them. Yeah, she's always creating positions that have not existed just to keep someone. Maybe she even feels like you're not even surviving what you are doing. She will create something else for you and make you stay. Yeah, that's how loyalty is, you see. So it's an intentional drive. I'm intentionally doing it. I don't know how long we'll go with it, but it's a very wide topic. Yeah. Yes, it's a wide topic that affects different, a lot of, can you imagine? All these books are loyalty, loyalty, disloyalty, loyalty, disloyalty, loyalty, disloyalty, loyalty, disloyalty, loyalty, disloyalty, so many of them. We can have a message, two messages every Sunday for the rest of the year. We will not even have gone through a quarter of it. Do you get it? So it's an intentional drive. So open up your heart and, yeah, I believe that that's one of the things that I gained from this church. You see? And it's helped me. Yeah. It's helped me. When I started working more as an administrator where I am now, you know, that was like 6 years ago. I was at a meeting and the chief executive was sitting at a table head and there were doctors, a lot of doctors. And then the chief executive said something. She made a statement about something that she wanted to change and we should do it. Then one of the doctors, an OBGYN, you know, surgeons feel, doctors are proud, generally. Doctors are, we're a bunch of proud people. It's true. Doctors feel very proud. But this OBGYN, she's my good friend. She stood up and then she didn't even stand up. She started murmuring and saying, you don't know what you're talking about. You've never been a doctor before. And she was talking. And that was, I started doing what I'm doing now. I just started it. I was very surprised because I've not seen some before. Yeah. But my church culture rose up in me. And I stood up. I said, listen, Dr. Susan, you can't talk to the boss that way. You understand? And she was very surprised. In fact, she was so surprised that she cooled down. I was looking at her. I said, no, you can't do this in public. You can't talk to her this way. And I would not allow you to talk to her. Right there, my boss started crying. Yeah. You know what she said to me afterwards? She said to me that you brought a new wind, fresh breeze into this place. Yeah. It's all books. It's all books. You understand? Yeah. And it's been challenging working, but I'm by loyalty, I'm still around. Yeah. Yeah, I've been ups and downs, but by loyalty. So it's a good thing to learn. You see, if you can learn it, you'll be very blessed. You'll be promoted. Loyalty will take you to places. That is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, let's look at it again. You see that it is something that God holds highly, that you cannot even serve him. Moreover, it is required in steward. It's a requirement. Yeah, it's a total requirement. You cannot be a steward. A steward is a servant with a specific assignment. You can't serve God. And we are all servants of God, by the way. Yeah, Romans 6:22. Anyone that has been cleansed by the blood is a servant. You are a servant. I am a servant. Every one of us is a servant. All our children are serving the Lord. Yes. By the way, those of you with little children, it's a great thing. Yeah. For your children to serve God and to be in church. And it's rewarding. I tell you. You may think that they are wasting their time is being wasted, but no. As time goes on, you see the difference. That it has been good that your kids were in church. Amen. So it is required of stewards. It is required and stewards that a man or a woman be found faithful. Look at your neighbor in the eyes, eyeball to eyeball, and say, neighbor, you have to be loyal. You have to learn to be loyal. Amen. So these messages, are you listening? These messages actually teach us what loyalty is, how to be loyal, number one. It also teaches us how to identify disloyalty in people. You see, that is what we call, traditionally have called in our church, being some way. Yeah, we should
get to that point. Yeah. When somebody is being some way, you should tell him that, Charlie, we are friends, but you are being some way. If we, what do you think? Yeah. You must be bold enough to tell people that you are being some way. What you are doing is not right. It's disloyalty. Yeah, it is. I believe that this is one of the greatest blessings that God has given this church. And by God's grace, we are still around, isn't it? Yeah. It's okay. I mean, it's natural to have a tendency. How many of you here have had a disloyal tendency before? Ah, come on, please. I mean, we're in church, you know. I would raise both hands that I've felt that like that before. Even the founder of the church has felt like leaving the church that he founded. So it's a natural tendency, you see. But when you know the word of God and loyalty, the culture of loyalty has been built inside you, see, to preserve you. Even as a husband, you won't leave your house. You won't want to leave your wife. And as a wife, you won't like to leave your husband. Amen. So, we've been talking about lessons of loyalty, isn't it? Is that the right way? Yeah. Lessons on loyalty. So, these are lessons we started last week. These are lessons that teach us. They show us how to be loyal. Amen. Number one, we said loyalty demands full persuasion. Loyalty demands full persuasion. Yeah. If you want to be loyal, you have to be fully persuaded. If you are half persuaded, you won't survive. Because anybody that is half persuaded, when things arise, you will give up. Yeah. When you are half persuaded about your partner, you will look at your partner every day with suspicion. Yeah. You always look at, even when they are doing their best, you will still not see that they are doing their best. And you always look at them in a particular way. When you are not fully persuaded about the church, you would also keep looking at the church in a funny way when we are taking offerings. You know, it's amazing though. I think Bishop and you know the full-timers here, they are very skilled and anointed in taking offering. Because sometimes when you stand here and you are taking offering, especially when it's back to back, oh man, you can feel the tension on people's faces. Yeah. People wondering, why are you taking so much offering? Why are you taking it? I mean, are you going to use it to buy some goat meat or something? Or some socks? Or I mean, you can feel it. You see? In fact, one day I was trying to, so sometimes I try to explain that, look, everybody here is not a. One day I was doing it and I felt the Lord rebuke me inside me. I still do it. But I stop when I sense it's maybe the attitude behind it is wrong. You see? So you have to be fully persuaded. Be persuaded. Some of you have been in this church for a long time, but you are not persuaded. You have to. All right? So I'm preaching from chapter 4 of this book. I can't go over the verses, otherwise we won't finish again. I want to finish this chapter. Number 2, lesson number 2, we said, loyalty must be to the higher authority. Yes. That is why I'm saying that the day I stop following Bishop, stop following me. I say it with all confidence. Don't follow me. If I came to you and I said, mark it down. And I said to you that, look, I'm starting my own church somewhere, you know, and it's called something, Kodesh Family Church, no, QFC, something close, or advanced, or modernized, or something close. Don't follow me. Yeah. Your loyalty, your faithfulness, advanced, yeah, or reformed Kodesh Church of Philadelphia. Don't follow me. Your loyalty must be to the higher authority. Yeah? In the same way, your loyalty must be. See, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Christ is the highest, God is the highest authority. Christ, highest authority. And we must follow God. In the same way, if you see us deviating, the day we come here and we start teaching from some other book, other than the Bible, or we start, yes, or we start showing you things and saying, do this, that is not in the Bible. Or I come and I say, look, Angel Gabriel came to me last night and he started teaching me this. So this is that day also, please stop following me. And stop following anybody. Yeah. In fact, these days, Christians don't like reading their own Bible. Yeah. We are not like the Christians in Berea, isn't it? We don't read, we don't check. You don't even that is why in extreme form, you see that people are always being cheated. Sometimes when you look on the internet, you see all kinds of prophets preaching all kinds of messages and doing all kinds of... This prophet again, what's his name? Prophet Obinim or something, Ghana. Eh? Now he says he's an angel or something. Did I tell you? Have you seen that story? Have you seen it on the internet? Yeah. He's now advanced to an angel. And then he sits in church, so-called church. He sits on like a little throne-like something. And behind is like a painting of an angel. Yeah. And he'll be telling you the things that he does. Even the things that the testimonies of the things he does should tell you that, you know, he talked about. I watched it. He talked about, he said, a certain woman saw him in a dream. And the woman was dark-skinned and the woman became fair. And then he said he also touched the woman's butt. Then the butt became more shapely and rounder. I mean, it's a prophet. But there are people in the church. He said he can give color, he can give butt, he can make you more shapely and give breast. He can also give breast, you know. He's a pastor. This is a prophet. And the church is, the so-called church is full. And it's full of people who don't read their Bible. Yeah. They don't read their Bibles. Because if you read your Bible, you see that these things are, these are all works of the flesh. But he has followers. So the real thing to do is actually check the Bible when you hear a message. Yeah, you must find out that what we are preaching, is it true? Open the Bible and read. Amen. Yesterday during our cell group leaders meeting, I was even sharing with them that sometimes you even have to, not sometimes, as much as, but go back, not when you read the best in the Bible, the book as you are reading. Put the book down, open the verse, and read around the context. Because some of the verses, Bishop will just quote a part of it to bring out the point. Read the whole verse. And if you don't understand it, anytime you read a verse you don't understand, do you know what it means? It means read the whole chapter. If you read the whole chapter and you still don't understand, it means go to the previous chapters. That's what it means. We shouldn't be lazy about it. Amen. So your loyalty must be to the higher authority. Number three, a loyal person does not withhold information. A loyal person is open to his senior about whatever is going on. What are the scriptures? Let me just give you one. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11. It says, "For it had been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." Let's take another one. 1 Corinthians 5:1. I like that one more. "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." You see, and this was not by word of knowledge. This was mentioned. It was reported. Human beings reported. Church members reported. It's part of loyalty. Yeah, when you see somebody do something, say it. Say something. It's okay, let them be angry. But say something. You'll be amazed how much you are saving the person. And by what you are even saying, you will see that the person would even be protected. I always tell you of the story of the lady that we used to pastor many years ago, who saw that the husband was doing pornography with gay things. A man chasing man. And she kept it for a long time. Until the thing had become so bad, then now she was not telling us. Yeah. Husbands must learn to report wives. I won't say this on Sunday service. I can say it on Wednesday. Because I trust that you are a little, for you to come to Wednesday service, so means that you are loyal and you've given yourself to do more. Yeah. Wives must report husbands. And husbands must report wives. Yes. When your husband is doing something that is not, tell somebody about it. And let me tell you something. As pastors, as a pastor, you even learn. We are not that dumb. You get what I'm saying? We are quite intelligent. When you tell me something, I'm not going... There are so many things I know that people don't even know that I know. You see? But the goal is not to embarrass you. The goal is not to make you feel bad. And when you see me, want to hide. No. Yeah. Sometimes we work. In fact, most of the time, we work with even shepherds. Yeah. You tell me what is. I will tell you, go and tell them this. Or go and do it this way to help them become better people. And that they don't have to even make me know that for them to even know that I know. Gradually. And we would only step in when we see that it is maybe reached some levels that now, you know, nobody else can. You have to say it yourself. Then we'll come and say it. Yeah. Yeah. In my marriage, me and Lady, I'm the one who likes reporting most. You can ask her. Hey, Pastor, is it not true? Okay, say it.
As a Reverend, he's the number one reporter.
I'll call Apostle on here right now. Apostle, I don't understand what she's trying to say. Even if she threatens to call up, I would rather call. I say, yeah, take the phone, call now. I'm looking for that help. Yeah. Many years ago, Apostle was sharing with us, Pastor. I know he'll mind if I share it with him. He said that when Bishop comes around, and Bishop is visiting, all right, he would intentionally open up cases, even when the cases are dead. You know, some cases can be dead. I mean, maybe something happened between you and your spouse and it's over. He would intentionally open it up that Bishop, 5 months ago when you were not there, this is what happened. So that Bishop will say something that will seal it and make sure it doesn't happen ever again. Don't protect your each other from when they are doing something that is not right. You are causing more damage. Say it. Yeah. Say it. And a lot of times you think you are the only one going through. The Bible says that there's no temptation. In other words, there's no problem that is not common. I mean, everything is common. What you have faced, somebody has faced it before. You may be surprised that even the pastor himself who is distant, he's faced the same thing. There's nothing new. There's nothing new. So you should share it. And let it be talked about. Amen. So this is a little diversion from the topic. We're still on it anyway. That a loyal person does not withhold information. Yeah. You should tell them, my husband is trying to leave the church. Yeah. Last week I told you, a lady pastor has told me many times that if I left the church, I'll be on my own. I mean, she won't divorce me, but we'll go Sunday. I'll go north, and then she'll go south. And then at the end of the day, we'll come and meet in the house. And yes, and then after all, marriage is do you know that marriage is an earthly arrangement? Yeah. When we get to heaven, there will be no marriage, and we'll all be brothers, sisters. We'll all be brothers and sisters. I know that Paulina can't handle that. He can't imagine that in heaven, he and Kofi will be just friends. In different mansions. You may be in different cities. If you want to see Kofi, you have to fly or something. It's going to take a while. And you'll be surprised that Kofi will not even want to see you because you'll be so occupied with Apostle Paul. Learning things. Amen. So a loyal person does not withhold information. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't withhold information. Lesson number four. Loyalty is based on principles and not emotions. Yes. Your loyalty must be based on principles, not emotions. Many times we make emotions cover up and direct us in so many things. Yeah? Leaders must make decisions based on principles. A husband must be strong, be very, very strong. As a general in my country said, a soldier must be very, very strong. How did she say? Yes. A soldier must be physically, spiritually. I think you can say it better than me.
Say, a soldier must be physically, spiritually, and morally strong.
And that's General Arnold Kwenu of blessed memory. Is he alive? Yeah. A husband must be physically, spiritually, and morally strong. Perhaps if Adam was physically, mentally, and spiritually strong, we would not be where we are today. Yeah. Sometimes women cry to cover up. Please, don't be. Yeah. Give them tissue and tell them when you finish crying, we'll continue. I love you, but when we finish, you continue. You must not base your decisions on emotions. Do you understand? Your decisions must be based on principles. A strong leadership. That's why leadership must be, your leading must be based on principles. Loyalty must be based on principles. Why are you here? Understand why you are here. Yes. So that you won't make mistakes and try to move on even when you are angry. When you are upset, that's the least time that you should even make any decisions. Because you become very emotional. Amen. So it must be based on principles and not emotions. Wow. Number five. I think that's where we ended, right? Did we do number five? All right, so, wow, time is up. Number five, lesson number five. Loyalty will cost you relationships and friendships. We did this one too. Yeah, loyalty will cost you relationships. If you want to be loyal, you will pay a price for it. Yes. James 4:4. Friendship of the world is enmity with God. Yes. So if you want to be loyal to God, you will have to turn your back to the world. Number six. This is a new one. Loyalty may cost you physical things. All right? Loyalty. If you want to be loyal, it's going to cost you physical things. It's expensive. Loyalty is expensive. Yeah? Sometimes when you are loyal, it will cost you money. For you to even come to the same church, which keeps moving. I've been pastoring this church for years. We've been to so many buildings. YMCA, Double Tree Hotel, which is not Double Tree Hotel anymore. It's the name changed. It's what is it called now? Five Star or something, right? I see it when I drive by sometimes. Yeah. Then went to Ron Street, Holmes Avenue, Crescentville, and here. Where next? We don't know. We still have time here. Do you get it? Yeah? By the way, we've bought a nice building in Newark. Yes. With time, everybody's going to see it. Beautiful, big building. It used to be a synagogue. Yes, but it's been renovated too. It's going to be our first cathedral in It's probably going to be opened in August. Bishop is coming in to open it. It's a huge, it seats hundreds of people. So we'll be able to have big programs there. So we are making progress. Are you understanding? So what I'm saying is that it will cost you physical things. It will cost you money. It will cost you time. It will cost you energy. It takes money and energy for me to be here. Yeah, I live very far away. Yeah, we probably are one of the people who live furthest. Me, Lady Pastor, and Brother Albert. We live in South Jersey. You pay tolls to cross the bridge. Yes. On a good day, it takes about 1 hour. You buy gas. If I add it to my commute from work, that makes it 3 hours drive. Because after work, it's always 2 hours or 2 hours plus to get home and then come here. Do you get it? It's also because of a certain sense of loyalty. I want to be loyal. I'm loyal to my daddy. Yeah, and loyal to you. That so long as I can come, I'm not being. Anytime you don't see me here on Wednesdays, it's because I've been pulled into a meeting. And it happens frequently, sometimes more frequently than I would even imagine. They call me, hey, we are meeting. And my boss, she likes to meet. She can just at 5 o'clock say, oh, let's sit here and eat and meet. And that's how she likes to have her meetings. Wow. And I can't say no. Because that's what affords me the chance to even do what I'm doing. It's lay ministry. Yeah. Are you understanding? Yeah? That's why I don't have to be paid by the church. So for a lay person like us, work is important. So I'm saying that it will cost you physical things. Let's take a verse quickly. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read from verse 24 to 26. Are we here? Where's Justin? He didn't make it today. Oh. All right. So Hebrews chapter 11, 24. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Can you imagine? He refused. It's an intentional, you know, surrendering to something. I will not do it. I could do it, but I won't do it. He refused. He refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter. Look at it. Verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction. I mean, you could not compare the life, physical life that he had in Pharaoh's palace to what his brethren in the outside outskirts of the city had. But he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And all these things, pleasures of sin, it's for a season. Yeah. I tell you, I know somebody, and this may sound a little graphic to you, but I know somebody who used to do, I mean, he says he's tried every drug. In fact, when you look at his younger pictures, he showed me when he was young, he looked like some wild, fresh Hollywood star. But he's not like that anymore. I was going to say something, but I don't know. There are kids here. Yeah? He could go to bed with 3 women at the same time. Ask them, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you do that? But today is no more. I can't tell you the whole thing, but today is no more. You see, so all those pleasures, like the Bible is saying here, it's for a season. It will finish. Yeah. Michael, all those, your colleagues and people on campus, that look so flashy today, I'm telling you, when the equation turns around, you'll be surprised at what they are or what they will be. Is it not true? In fact, when I was in secondary school, I remember people would come with rich guys, you know, they would come with their parents' cars and they would screech. Do you know what screeching is? Yeah. I mean, there was this guy, he would open all 4 doors. Very luxurious car, new car. And then he would drive and then he would spin on the field, then sand, you know, the dust. And then the doors will close, boom. Then everybody, yeah. One day, I was told there was even a policeman standing by, Ghana police, and the policeman was even clapping for him. Policeman clapping for such stupidity. Clapping for him, wow. Today, none of them is anything. So it's for a season. Pleasures for a season. Look, if you want to be loyal, you see, that's why when we're talking about, I think when we're talking about the signs of disloyalty, you see that most of it had, the points we brought up, most of it had direct things to do with disobeying God's word. Because that's how it begins. If you can turn your back against God, you can turn your back against any man. Yeah. That is why we talked about people who cannot, you know, control themselves. People who even steal. People who have immoral lives. All those things are signs of disloyalty. You see, and I'm saying to you now that by this verse, that if you want to be loyal, it's going to cost you pleasure. It's going to cost you wealth. It's going to cost you changing your friends. It's going to cost you saying bye-bye to things that even after you said bye-bye to, you see that you are crying. Because painful. But that's the price. Loyalty will cost you physical things. Are you understanding? Yes. The next verse. It says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You got to think beyond the 2-3 minutes pleasure. Yes, you got to think beyond it, because there's more. It expands. It enters into eternity, not just your 1x2 pleasures. Yeah, it's true. Some of these, even this sexual sin. How long does it even last? 2 minutes? 1 minute? It's finished. Then you have this guilty face on your guilty look on your face. Yeah, they were diseases. It's not worth it. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not worth it. And turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's going to cost you. Tell them, pay the price. Pay the price to be loyal. Amen. Last one. Loyalty demands analysis. And what are we analyzing here? All right? For you to be loyal, you need to analyze. You have to think through. If you think through, you realize that you will stay loyal. So what are some of the things we need to analyze? Number one, we need to analyze the past. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. 2 Tim 1:6. It says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Amen. So sometimes you have to remember. You have to look into the past and remember. Remember even why you are here. Remember even where you came from. Remember how you used to look. Yeah. Remember what you used to do. Remember how far you have come. As you analyze it, it's able to correct your wrong thinking. Do you get it? Here, the gift was being forgotten. I said, remember. When you remember how even the gift came, we laid hands on you. The hands were laid on you. You were anointed. That will make you even stir it up and rise up and say, hey, this thing must not die. So loyalty requires analysis of the past. A lot of you here, you may not even recognize or even want to admit, but I know you. I've been with you for a while. I can see how far you've come. Sister Dell, is it not true? It looks like only Sister Dell is the one nodding her head. Auntie Evelyn, is it not true? Yeah, we've come from... Mama Lou, is it not true? I've come from far. I'm not even talking about the weight. I'm talking about even quality of life. Eh? Look at Nanaya. Eh? When I knew her, you were some slim man. With thin hair. With no babies. Now you have a wife and two babies. Still counting. Yeah. You see, that alone should make you even sit up. Do you understand? Because you cannot even say that the wife you have today, even though you knew her from Ghana, the church has not contributed. Do you know what it costs for Lady Pastor to counsel you? Now you are making me go deep. Yeah. There were some times she would take time off being with me just to be with you. Yeah. So when you start, when the seizures are coming or the diarrhea is trying to develop, just analyze the past. It will make you correct yourself. Yeah. Were you not having counseling sometimes late? Huh? You do it in church. Yeah, but I needed you. Who said I don't need you in church? When I say I need you, I think you have only one type of needing. Yeah? Listen, apart from all jokes, I really need her in church. Yeah, I function well when she's around me in church. Yeah? Recently, Pastor Samuel was saying, oh, Lady Pastor should come to her. I said, no. I need her in church. We can talk about it later. But I need her. She does so much for me. Do you understand? Yeah. And I need her in church. Huh. So analyze the past. Analyze the individual concern. You must look at the person. Analyze the individual that is concerned. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 10 and 11. Quickly, time is up. 2 Timothy 3, 10 and 11. Look at what Paul says. It says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Look at verse 10 again. But thou hast known fully my doctrine. You have known fully. You see, you need to analyze the person. Yeah. If you can sometimes even think and analyze even Bishop, you see how consistent he's been. You've seen how many things he's told us in the past that we are now even seeing. Do you get it? Yeah. One of the things that he said that has happened. If I let me not go into it. I won't go into it. Father, forgive me. Then number the last one. Last one. Analyze the word of God. Do you get it? So to stay loyal, you also need to analyze the word of God. Romans 16 and verse 17. Romans 16, 17. This is the last verse we've done. Romans 16, 17. All right. Romans 16, 17. Now look at this. We are talking about analyze the word. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark, this is the Bible, though. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is the Bible. We are not reading the Quran. We are not reading a book written by Reverend Fletcher. We are reading a book, Holy Bible. Look at what it says. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And avoid them. Strong. Yeah. Sometimes you need to mark people and avoid them. I'm not saying go and quarrel with them. That's not what we're talking about. But this kind of people who cause divisions, people who go contrary to what has been taught. God is showing us. So analyze what he's saying. You see, one of the difficult and very painful things that I've seen in these churches, when somebody breaks away, especially pastors, and then when they're breaking away, they move with some of the church members, and then they go and start another church. As Bishop always says, if you do that, the guns are pointed at you. It's very pathetic. Yeah. One of my very good friends did that, you know, and he has his own church now. I think he gave up most of them. They came back to the church and he's doing okay now. But I felt it so much because I felt so sorry for him. And I have that tendency of feeling so sorry that I get so attached to the person and they did. But this is the man can avoid them. So, if you want to be loyal, this is just one of the verses. You would have to actually analyze the word of God and do what the word of God says. Yeah? That's it. And if you are sure it's the word, you are reading from the word, and this is what it says you should do, then that is what we need to do by analysis. In Jesus' name. Put your hand on your heart as we pray. Pray for your heart. Everybody, put your hand on your heart. Just pray for your heart. That you'll be loyal. Pray that in the years to come, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, as much as the Lord blesses you with life and you are satisfied, you will remain loyal. Pray that you not deviate from to the left nor to the right. Pray that loyalty will be so much part of you. It will be your culture. That it will be seen in everything that you do. In your marriage, in your profession, whatever you do, loyalty will be part of it. Pray that loyalty will mark even your ministry. It will mark even your stewardship. In Jesus' name. Kale marubiada. Shepele makopatapala. Leproto makaliandaraba. Father, we thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes. In the years to come, we will be stable. In the years to come, everything around us will be stable because of loyalty. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's receive a quick offering. We prefer.